guys. You know, I've known for a little while that I was going to be preaching today and next week, actually. And I was talking with Les earlier this week, and he confessed to me. He said, "Steve, when you get up there to preach, you are kind of like the pressure's on you, because I'm not up here every week, so it's almost like I'm expected to come up with a dynamic sermon that's just gonna like rock everybody's socks off." I kind of let go of that pressure this week though, and I started fiddling with some of my thoughts, and I had a topic prepared. You know, me and Les get together, and he kind of coaches me through the whole process, and I told him what I was gonna preach about, and just this week before he went out of town, I said, "Man, I'm changing everything," because I felt like the Lord telling me something, and he put this message on my heart, and I was like, It doesn't really happen that often, because once I decide on something, it's like, let me just see that through. But I really felt a nagging, like, I need to talk about something else. And it ended up being really good. So anyway, before we get going, I just want to just share a couple quick announcements. Let me see. The first, we don't have any handouts today, but if you guys aren't on Facebook, please go and look us up on Facebook. If you're not, go to the website and sign up for our email newsletter. You get the prayer requests and you get all that stuff. But you really get all the up to date information on events and stuff like that. So our marriage conference is coming up in February. If you would like to be a part of that, please sign up. There's a link on the Facebook page. It's going to be a house event because it's a simulcast. So it's actually going to be at Les's house. There is a small fee involved. If that's an issue, just talk to us and we'll take care of it. But please do that. And I also wanted to give attention to Herman. I don't know, just so you guys understand kind of what we got going on. Herman actually hosts a Bible study at his home every Wednesday night. Tuesday night, I'm sorry. Tuesday, I knew that. What time? From 5 to 7 o'clock. And I believe he's starting on the book of Ephesians, right? Did you already start? Okay. So they've started, Herman's an awesome teacher. He's an awesome guy. I'm guilty of having been able to visit yet, and I think I'm going to do that this month, actually. But that's available for you, too. And Herman is walking in his gifting doing that. So if you guys want to be a part of a Bible group here at the church, he's available. And there's a few of you guys that already go. So anyway, let's go ahead and get started. I want you to take out, I don't have mine on me. Can you take out your cell phones, please? I'm not going to ask you to turn it off or put it on silent or anything. Most of us, I see iPhones all around the room. iPhone. We're going to say a special prayer for Krisha. Krisha, tell them what kind of phone you got. Come on. It's an iPhone 3, guys. Krisha's still using an iPhone 3. Not a 3G, not a 3GS. You remember those? When it first came out, she used an iPhone 3. So I told her we're going to take up a special offering at the end of the service to get her an upgrade. Okay. I'm just kidding. It doesn't matter. Yeah, I know. All right, so you got your cell phones out? I'm serious. I'm serious, guys. Come on. Get your cell phones out. Okay, now can you turn them on and go to the phone app? Turn it on. Turn on your phones. Go to the phone app. I'm not going to ask you to call anybody. I'm not going to ask you to call international or anything and rack up your minutes. Open up the phone app where you would dial. Okay, now go to recent. If you guys can tap on recent at the bottom. Okay, tap on recent. Good. How many of you guys see any numbers or any names in red? You. Okay, you. Krisha, you got some red in there? Okay. Now, the red number or the red phone, in case you guys don't know, are missed calls. Okay? They're calls that come through that you either ignore or you just miss it. Right? Every single one of us, if we open up our phones, are going to have missed calls on the call log. And, a few years ago, I was listening to a radio station. And I forgot what it was. I think it was KRBE 104. I don't know. But they used to do this weekly cash giveaway. They still do it? All right. And what's the deal? The station calls a person, right? And they have to answer the phone. And they have to say like a phrase, right? And they get paid like, it's like $1,000 or a couple thousand bucks. No. $104. So it's not that much, but it's $104, right? And what was funny is that, you know, I was listening one time, and it was live. Usually they do these pre-taped segments. And the person didn't answer the phone. And they called and called and called, and they didn't answer. And so what happened? The guy or the girl, they missed out, you know. And it's only $104. Imagine if it was $104,000. Imagine if it was $104 million. Imagine if it was $980 million. Anybody play Powerball a couple weeks ago? No? But as a listener, listening to that, I could feel like, oh no, this person just missed out on $104 free. All they had to do was pick up the phone. Now, there's a couple reasons why we don't answer the calls when we get them on our phone, right? We either don't know who it is, and I knew this guy. It didn't matter what the phone number was. If it wasn't listed on his phone, it didn't matter. He would pick up. He would answer. How many of you answer every single phone call, even if you don't know who it is? Leandra, you're a minority, okay? Most of us, if it's not listed in our contacts and we don't know who it is, we're not going to pick up the phone, all right? Another reason why we don't pick up the phone is because we know who it is, but we're either busy and we don't want to talk to them, or we don't know what they want, and it's kind of, it would be an awkward situation, right, to answer the phone, and you just don't know how that conversation would go. So there's a number of reasons why we don't answer the call, okay? Now, what I want to talk about here this morning and over the next 2 weeks, or this week and next week, I titled Calling, Gifting, and Anointing, okay? If you have submitted yourself to Christ, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died and was resurrected, if you have believed that you've been adopted into a family, you have a calling. You have a calling. And the Lord's placed a calling on every single one of us. And there's a calling that we all have and we all share. I didn't prepare a PowerPoint. And you don't have to turn there, but in 1 Peter, in chapter 2, you could just write it down and look on later. I'm gonna be throwing out scriptures today, guys, because I don't want to take a long time, but I want us to hear what the Word of God has to say about our calling. 1 Peter in chapter 2, it says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light." Okay? Our first calling is one that we all share and we're bound to uphold as believers. We all share a calling as to how we are to live that out. In Ephesians in chapter 4, this is when Paul from prison in Rome is addressing the church in Ephesus. He says, "As a prisoner, not of the government, but for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, because there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called." Our relationship with the Lord hinges on the calling of God. We each have a calling, okay? Now, the ones I just described and we read about is one that we all share, all right? Every single one of us. We have been called from darkness to light. We have been called to be patient and loving and kind to one another, all right? But that's not the calling that I want to talk about this morning. Because you have a unique reason and purpose as to why you're here on earth. You have a reason for living. And that's the calling that I want to talk about this morning. And see, I can't point to you and know what it is, because each one of us has a different calling, all right? And so the reason I labeled this calling and gifting and anointing is a lot of us get tripped up with the idea that when we're trying to figure out what to do, when we're trying to figure out what our God-given calling is, what we do is we skip that calling part and we go straight to gifts, or we go straight to anointing, and we try to figure out, what are we talented at? What are we best at? What are we most comfortable at doing? That must be what I'm called to do, okay? But that's a lie. God is calling you to something that he wants to gift you with. God is calling you to something that he wants to equip you to do. And this morning, I want to learn a little bit about what we're supposed to do, when we're called, and how we go about pursuing that. So, excuse me. So there's three things I want to talk about. I want to talk about, there's three things you have to do with your calling. You have to pursue it, you have to walk in it, and you have to fight for it, okay? You have to pursue it, you have to walk in it, and you have to fight for it. Now again, and we're going to talk about this next week a lot too, about gifts and anointing and how they function in our calling. But when we focus on those things, all right, we don't give room for the Lord. And you've guys heard that phrase, you know, where God, he doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called, right? Is that how it goes? It's kind of like if my car broke down, and we drive a Mazda. So I don't know, is that technically an import? Yes, it's not a domestic car, right? So if our car breaks down, I would feel more comfortable taking it to a mechanic that specializes in imports, right? Do everybody know that there's different garages or, you know, different auto mechanics that specialize in different things? If I had a Ford, I'd feel more comfortable taking it to a place that specializes in domestic vehicles, right? But see, God doesn't work like that. God's crazy, okay? God doesn't even take his car to a mechanic. What does God do? And this is when I was thinking about this, I imagine this. I imagine like a when you're 4 or 5 years old and for Christmas you get that little toy tool set that's plastic with the little hammers and stuff and you start learning how things go together, right? And I imagine God taking his problem, not his problems, but his issue, like his thing, taking it to this little boy with little toy tool sets because the child is open and willing to learn what he's got to do to fix it. Am I right? Jesus, and when Jesus says, come as a child to me, it's because a child soaks up information and knowledge, and he wants to learn more and more and more. And when it comes to our calling, God wants you to learn and lean on his understanding, okay? Not on your gifts and not on your talents. But they do have a function and a purpose, which we'll learn about next week. So if I'm going to define your God-given calling, the unique one, it's this. It's God's unique purpose and direction for your life, okay? Your calling is God's unique purpose and direction for your life. And there's a few questions you need to ask yourself when you begin to think about what your calling could be. And they're this, okay? Why are you here? Why are you here? Here's another one. What is your purpose? What is your purpose? How are you to serve him and serve others? How are you to serve him and serve others? And what is my role in a spiritual community? What is my role in a spiritual community? And the truth is, I'm not going to call anybody out. A lot of us would stumble a little bit. If somebody were to ask us those questions, some of us would kind of stumble through the answers. All right? And it doesn't matter what age you are. Those are hard questions to answer. And I think for most of us, if we were to take an honest look in the mirror, we wouldn't have a straightforward answer. All right? So I want to explore a little bit. How do we get closer to that? How can we wake up and know without a shadow of a doubt, this is the reason God put me on this earth? And it doesn't have anything to do with what I'm good at. It has everything to do to my obedience to him. Okay? So let's learn a little bit about that. So the first thing we need to do when it comes to our calling is to pursue it. All right? The first thing we need to do is to pursue it. And these three things I'm gonna kind of breeze through, and then we're gonna take communion together at the end. But so romantic pursuit. It's when it comes to pursuing. I remember when Giselle and I were dating, and I don't want to compare our marriage to like when we were dating, you know. But when you're courting somebody, you know, when you're in a relationship, You remember there was a certain level of pursuing, right? It wasn't that your girlfriend or your fiance or whoever it was that you were in courtship with was running away from you, right? It wasn't that they were unattainable. It wasn't that they were out of reach. But you knew that you had to be pursuing them on a daily basis, right? You had to be doing something, taking steps forward in order to be able to fully experience and get everything you can out of that relationship. There has to be a pursuit. So it isn't that God wants to keep your calling a secret, okay? It's not that it's hidden and it's in the dark, but we have to take a posture that is going after it. We have to go after our calling. And unfortunately, this next generation, I feel like, especially with young people, are losing a lot of interest in courting their future. They're losing a lot of interest in pursuing why God put them here on earth. I was watching a video on Channel 14, one of the Christian network. It was the Christian Broadcasting Network show. Who is that? James Robinson? No. And his wife? I don't remember. But anyway, they had one of their anchors or one of their people interviewing some people on the street. He must have been at a college because there was a lot of young people that he was asking these questions. And one of the first questions he asked was, do you have a purpose in life? And he was asking questions like, why are you here on this earth? I was going to play it, but I couldn't find it. And it was interesting that the general consensus between all the people that he asked was, I don't know, first. And second was that I have to finish school first. I have to finish college and start my career, and then I'll probably start to find out why I'm here. Okay? So there's a general feeling that pursuing your calling needs to happen at a later time. For young people, it's finishing college and making sure you're equipped to, like, actually do life, which really means that I got to make sure that I got a job and can make some money before I can start pursuing my dreams or the reason why God put me on this earth. So what we should be concerned about as a church, as parents, as an older generation, is that we have these bright, young, and resourceful people that are channeling the majority of their time and energy to find a job that might bring them money, that might bring them esteem and position, but at the same time neglecting the pursuit, the very reason God put them on this earth. Can you imagine in 20 years what this world would look like if every young person before going to college would spend about a year or so pursuing the Lord, why they were put here on this earth? In 20 years, what would this country look like? It would blow my mind, right? And the thing is that God is not withholding it from them. God's not withholding it from us. And a lot of us sometimes are afraid because we've asked that question before and we feel like we haven't gotten an answer. We've asked a question before and we might have gotten an answer that didn't turn out the way we expected it. We ended up failing at something and equated that with not being able to listen and hear the Lord. And that's wrong. And that's a lie from the enemy. Because you have received your calling in the womb. It says, when he called you out of darkness into light, he placed something special and unique inside of you. As he told Jeremiah, I said, I knew you. I knew how many hairs are on your head. And that is specific and unique to you. And that's specific and unique to me. So where do I start? How do I start pursuing my calling, okay? And this is the simple answer here. In 1 John in chapter 5 and verse 14, he says this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. So what's the first thing we need to do when we pursue our calling? We need to ask. That's all we need to do is ask. First thing we need to do in silence, in solitude, in your prayer closet, first thing when you wake up in the morning in bed, wherever you are, okay, you need to come just you and the Lord and ask, what is my reason for being here? And he promises us here, if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask of him, he's going to answer. He's going to answer, but our motives must be pure. Our motives must be pure. Our hearts have to be clean. Our minds have to be open. And our wills have to be surrendered to him. Okay? If we want that clarity and if we want more decisiveness when it comes to knowing for sure, 100%, this is why God has put me here on this earth. All right? So the first thing you got to do is ask. Another way that you can, I'm just going to, and this is just a basic thing. A way that you can know what your calling is in life. And we see this in the movers and the shakers in the church and in government and around society and stuff. You know your calling when you think about something and you have a clear insight of what could be. This is about anything. You have a clear insight of what could be. and a pain or a frustration about what is. Okay? Let me explain that again. Or let me say that again. Your calling could be about something that you have a clear insight of what could be, and a pain or a frustration with what is. Okay? So, I think the president or the director of the Dream Center in L.A., I believe, is a woman by the name of, oh, my God, I forgot her name. But she knew, working at the Dream Center, and this is a ministry that is based out of L.A., that goes out and ministers to the community. Low-income, impoverished communities with kids who are not being fed well, who do not go to church, and they go out and reach a lot of these people. And so when she said that when she went into those communities, she knew she couldn't just leave and go home and be comfortable going to sleep, knowing that that was going on, okay? There was a pain or a frustration knowing that that's what was, but she had a clear insight about what could be, okay? Beth, who works with anti-human trafficking, she knows there is a pain in her heart when she sees what is, okay? But she has a clear insight about what those girls could experience if she takes a step into her calling, and she has an insight and a picture and a vision about what could be, okay? So when you think about something, and there is something that's popped up on your journey, there's something that the Lord has brought to your attention, all right? And for some of us, we may already have that picture of it already. Maybe we're still trying to figure that out, but there's something that the Lord has brought to your attention, okay? And he knows that you might have a clear insight as to how you can change that situation. And every God calling, every God-given calling, okay? And because the resistance, the question that will have us doubting ourselves whether or not we're pursuing the right thing is this, is how can I know that I'm not just trying to fulfill my own selfish desires, right? How do I know that I'm pursuing the right thing? And you can always answer it like this. Your calling will help and serve others. Your God-given calling will always help and serve others. Okay? Even if you feel like you're called to be an entrepreneur, you have something of value you want to give to your clients. You are giving. You are serving them with your business, with your personality, with the way you conduct yourself. As an entrepreneur, you are helping and serving others. If you're in the ministry, then you are helping and serving others. All right? Every God-given calling is not going to be about you. Your unique purpose and reason is always going to be about how you can help the world around you. Because we see injustice, or we see a lack, or we see a need. And that spirit within you, the spirit that God designed, or that God created Adam with, and the light that was at the Garden of Eden when Eve bit the fruit and the light was put out, okay? And Jesus comes along 2,000 years later and revives it, right? Our spirits come alive again, and there's something that we need to do, because Adam had a task to be a good steward and to protect this world. So you see an injustice or you see a need, that's your God-given design to want to fulfill it, to want to address it, all right? That's God's unique calling. So he wants to reveal his will to you. We just have to surrender ours to him. So first thing we do with our calling is pursue it. The next thing we have to do is walk in it, all right? Next thing we need to do with our calling is walk in it. Now, in Genesis in chapter 12, there's a story of Abraham. Everybody knows who Abraham is, right? He's a big dude. I mean, he's a big deal in the Bible, right? I don't think we really understand how big a deal Abraham is, because out of the three major religions in the world, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, all of us who represent the overwhelming majority of people around the world, all of us would consider Abraham the forefather of our faith. Okay? So understanding what Abraham's story is a big deal. All right? And we usually start in chapter 12, and I'll go ahead and read this. It's just a few verses here. I want to read about how Abram responded to his call. It says, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.'" And here it is, verse 4. This is what hinges everything, right? "So Abram went as the Lord had told him." So Abram went as the Lord had told him. And so when we look at Abraham's story, this is kind of like, you know, and even in your Bibles, a lot of it would be, you know, a lot of it said the story of Abraham or the call of Abraham. But really his story begins a few verses before. And I don't know if many of you know this, but his father, so Abraham was from Ur, okay, which was a city in like Mesopotamia between the Tigris and the Euphrates. Geography. And his father, Tehran, traveled from Ur on the way to Canaan, but they stopped in a place called Haran. So Abraham didn't begin his journey from his normal house and his normal dwelling. His father had begun the journey with him and his brother already. But the thing was that his father didn't go all the way. His father stopped in Haran. Abraham responded to the call of God because he was willing to do whatever it took. And he went to Canaan. All right? We have to walk in our calling. And this is why. The world depends on it. The world depends on you walking in your calling. This isn't so that we can feel like we're more, I don't know. I mean, we've talked a lot about our gifts, our strengths, and Les is actually going to be starting the next series on our strengths and doing that strength finders thing and finding out what we're good at, which is awesome. But the reason why we do all of this is because the world depends on you walking in your calling, your gifting, and your anointing. And for Abraham, the world could be very, I mean, it, I don't want to say that, but the world needed Abraham to respond to God. Okay, Abraham was a descendant from a small little family who God had saved from a worldwide flood. And he was specifically a descendant of Seth. And Seth's family were the last ones who knew of a God who could restore, who could rescue, who could save. And later on in Joshua reminds the children of Israel that Abraham and his father and the people of Ur used to worship idols. Okay? So somehow that story of God, one God, saving humanity, sending a rescue, sending his salvation, somehow that story got muddled up in all of the idol worship. Okay? And so our image and our understanding of God and through Abraham now hinged on him being willing to walk in his call when he got called. You understand the weight of that? It's so important. What are the implications of Abraham staying in Haran or staying in what he thought was comfortable and secure? And it's a hard road. Because when God called Abraham out in verse 1, when he said, "Go from your country," in the King James, it says, it's a little bit harsher. It says, "Get thee out." And God instructs Abraham, no, man, don't just leave. I don't want you to just go, okay? I want you to get yourself out of there. Pick up yourself and get thee out. It's imperative. The world is desperate and needs you to leave, okay? And not only that, in verse 4, when it says Abraham went, when the Lord told him to go, okay, he says, I want you to go from your people, your father's household, your place of security, your comfort zone, everything you know in life. I want you to leave, and I will show you to the land. I will show you. Okay? He didn't even have a place to go. He didn't even have directions. He didn't have a GPS with the destination. We can't even get in the car without like plugging in that stuff on Google Maps, knowing exactly where we're going and the route we're going to take that has the least traffic. Abraham responded to the call of God without knowing, without having security and comfort and safety. He just decided to walk in it and be obedient. And that's what the Lord is inviting us to do today. It's to accept it. It's to know that I want to walk in your calling. Even if I don't know what that is yet, I'm going to begin walking and taking steps towards something. And see, excuse me. The temptation is to wait for specific instructions, or we have to hear this audible voice, right? We think that Abraham just heard something, you know, God's thunderous voice come down out of the clouds and say, "Abraham, go to the land of Canaan, or the land I will show." I don't know how it happened. He was in prayer. I don't know. The Holy Spirit spoke to him, came upon. I don't know how that worked, but he listened, right? And so the temptation for us would be to wait till we have that same experience before we begin taking steps, all right? But it's as you are going that the Holy Spirit will correct you, all right? So I have a couple questions. How can he correct your steps if you haven't taken any? How can he correct your steps if you haven't taken any? How can he tell you what the next step is if you haven't taken the first step? How can the Holy Spirit tell you what the next step is if we fail to take the first step? Okay? We have to get to work. And I know a lot of older ministers or pastors that started their ministry like later on in life. And the majority of them will say that the one regret they had was that they waited so long to do that. They waited so long to retire from their careers or pursue that calling and walk in the calling that they knew God had already called them to a long time ago, okay? And one thing that a lot of nurses in hospice nurses or nurses that attend to patients that are terminal will say that the patients that are sitting on that are laying in their deathbeds, there's a few common things, but one of them is that they never pursued what they felt like they were called to do, okay? You will lead a miserable life if you keep running and not walking in the reason why God puts you on this earth. And you will waste your years. I'm going to close up with this. This is my last point. So with our calling, we have to pursue it. We have to walk in it. And the last one, we have to fight for it. We have to fight for it. Because there's somebody on earth that wants to take it away from you. There's somebody here that wants to grab it or tell you that's not it. He wants to say, "Joe, you are not equipped and you are not worthy to carry that kind of mantle. But the Lord wants to tell you, you are. But the Lord wants to tell you, I will make you worthy. The Lord wants to tell you, I will equip you with everything that you need." So in the book of the book of Luke in chapter 4, Jesus is away. This is Luke 4:42, if you guys want to go and look that up. Jesus is away in prayer. And Jesus is a praying kind of guy. He's one of them praying kind of Christians. He's always praying, right? And so I'll just go ahead and quickly read it. Verse 42, it says, "At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was," you know, they're like bothering him, "they tried to keep him from leaving them, like leeches. But he said, 'I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent.' And he kept on preaching the synagogues of Judea," the large area, okay? So the people there knew Jesus had something special. They knew Jesus could heal. They knew Jesus could cast out demons. They knew Jesus was this man on fire, and he had such a following, right? And they told him, "Don't leave us. There's so much need here. Keep doing what you're doing here." But what was Jesus' response? He could have stayed. He could have did a lot of good there. But what was his response? He said, I must proclaim the good news to everybody. I have to walk in my calling. I have to walk in my calling. Because God's Spirit is upon me. Because he's anointed me to do what? Free the captives. Give sight to the blind. That was his calling. That's why he was here. And so the first thing you need to do in order to fight, because we don't fight with weapons and we don't fight with our fists, even though I wish we did, all right, sometimes, but we don't. We need to address that sometimes we pursue the wrong things instead of the God things, okay? They're not necessarily bad things, but they're the wrong things, all right? So your number one weapon is going to be no, is the word, that little word, no. Okay? Once you have pursued your calling and you begin to walk in it, all right, you need to fight for it by abstaining from keeping busy and saying, no, I need to walk in my calling. And that's okay. Because the enemy does not, look, the enemy is not going to keep you busy doing evil. Okay? He's going to keep you busy by neglecting your God-given purpose. That's how he's going to work. He's going to keep you busy so that way you can neglect changing this world for the better. If he could keep you from walking in your calling, he's won. And he's winning with this next generation. He's winning with these young people that are more concerned with their careers than they are pursuing the reason why God put them on this earth. And we can change that, all right? So I'm going to go ahead and close up here. I just want to ask you a couple of questions. And we have these cool little, and I don't know if you guys seen these already. And you know what? I'm going to tell Les, because I know that this juice tastes horrible, okay? Am I right? Am I the only one who, like, dislikes that juice? And the crackers taste like styrofoam. I know, guys, okay? But we're going to take communion this morning. And if you guys can come down and take some of these. Or take one and pass the basket around. And again, just a reminder, we're taking communion every week this year, every Sunday. Instead of just the first Sunday, we'll have like a little bit of a more traditional communion setting. But every week, we're going to take the time out to take communion together, because the Lord has instructed when we get together, this is what we're supposed to do. All right, is everybody good? You got it? All right, it's a little bit of ninja skills here. If you could just take off that little plastic one on the top. All right, here's the wafer. All right. So when it comes to finding out what you're called to do, okay, you need to ask yourself, before we partake of the body of Christ, the bread which signifies the body of Christ, are you willing to do whatever it takes when it comes to your calling? Are you willing to do whatever it takes? Are you willing to do anything the Lord asks you to do? You know why? Because this man did. And as we break the bread and we partake it, this man did whatever it took. Even giving up his own body to walk in the calling that God called him to. His Father, our Savior. All right, let's eat that together. And as we partake of the wine, it signifies his blood. Just want to ask, are we willing to be God's hands and feet here on earth? Do you want to allow him to work in you and through you? And as we drink the blood, are you willing to take upon yourself his calling, what he wants you to do? Not what I want to do. Not what's safe. Not what will make me complacent, but whatever he desires. So let's drink the blood together. All right. Lord, thank you this morning that you are bringing clarity in Jesus' name, that you are going to begin answering prayers that maybe haven't been prayed in a while. Maybe they've been put up on the shelf. You know, maybe we've been just kind of trudging along, just thinking, you know, I don't know. Maybe the routine is good enough. Maybe all the regular stuff that I do every day. Maybe that's what life is all about. But Lord, right now I pray in Jesus' name, and we thank you in Jesus' name, that you are going to begin answering those prayers as to why you put us here on this earth, our God-given unique purpose and direction for our life. And we open our hearts to you, and we want to pursue it, we want to walk in it, and we're going to fight for it. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Thank you guys for coming. You are dismissed. I love y'all. Bye.